Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Ooh, it got cold in here all of a sudden. Must be the air conditioner. Why do I have an air conditioner in a cave? Oh, hello! Thank you for joining me again on Cytanium Mine. And this week, we have a very special episode because it is becoming that time of year. The spoopiest time of year. Election season. But also, it's Halloween. And that usually means that it's a good time to talk about games that are scary. There is a problem, of course, with me talking about scary games. I don't like to play them. I know that there is a big market for them, and people do get into them. There is definitely a group of gamers that enjoy playing horror games, and more power to them. However, I do not enjoy it. I do not find it entertaining, and I try to avoid them like the plague. Occasionally, I think about playing them. But then I think about it for 5 more seconds and realize I don't want to. But I figured that I would tell you about some of what would be considered traditionally horror games that I have actually played. Although I have to tell you, I probably consider them horror games for unintended reasons. So when you think about horror games, one of the first series that comes to mind is going to be Resident Evil. And I haven't played a ton of the Resident Evil games. I played 5, which was more of an action game, and I just didn't really get into it very much. But one that I did play all the way through, kind of, I'll explain that in a minute, was Resident Evil 4, which is probably the best in the series. It's, at least it's considered that, and I totally understand. The whole idea behind Resident Evil 4 is the very plausible story that Leon Kennedy has to go to this small Spanish village to rescue the president's teenage daughter. Yeah, that happens a lot. So anyway, the reason I say I kind of completed it, which I did, I saw the ending, you know, I played to the end, was because this was in the era where I had a Game Shark. So I kind of played the game, but I also was cheating the entire time. I'm not proud of that, but to be honest with you, I didn't want to do health management, and I didn't want to do bullet management, which are like two of the biggest things that you usually have to deal with in Resident Evil. And frankly, I find that to be the scariest part of the game, is just the amount of time that I have to spend trying to manage how many bullets I use, and how many, like, green herbs I need to consume at the same time. Now, the majority of the game is not particularly horrific, but then you get toward the end of the game, and there are those regenerators. Those are annoying, obviously. I hate those, and the idea that, yes, you can kill, basically, this super zombie, but if you haven't specifically hit the interior points of its body that you can't see unless you're through a specific camera lens, it will just regenerate and come back and start hitting you again, is kind of terrifying. It was actually a scary moment in that game. But I think the scariest part of Resident Evil 4 are the tank controls. The fact that I cannot move and shoot at the same time. That was terrifying. Now, it is a little bit better than in previous games where it was the static screens and you could also not shoot and move at the same time. But there is something very disconcerting about having to stop, plant your feet, and then shoot, and not be able to move at that time. That is, genuinely disturbing. The series I am slightly more familiar with is actually Dead Space. Now, I actually played Dead Space 3 all the way through, but I did play some of Dead Space 1, and a little bit of Dead Space 2. Dead Space, the first one at least, is probably the closest to an actual horror game that you could get, because as the series progressed, it became more of an action-based franchise and not so much a claustrophobic space horror game. The most interesting aspect, though, about the series are the necromorphs. The idea that essentially these undead creatures that you're fighting, you don't aim for the head. You have to sever the limbs, and that's how you kill them, is very innovative and interesting, and also can make your shooting controls, which you are still doing sort of like in tank style in third person, a little bit difficult. But, and so I guess that actually helps for the tension part, but I would say that the scariest part of Dead Space, and spoilers for a game that's about 10 years old, is that if you look at what they called each chapter, and you put them together, and you look at the first letter of each one of those chapter names, it spells out, Nicole is dead. And the amount of time and effort they must have had to go through to figure out how to make that work is kind of terrifying to me. Far more than the game. Another one of the most traditional kind of horror games that I have indeed played was 7 Days to Die. Although I think what's kind of scary about that is, one, the graphics. But also the idea that, hey, we could have, like, Minecraft, but in The Walking Dead, that was an interesting idea. The general thing that was scary about that game, though, was probably the gameplay itself. I don't really find it very entertaining. The environments were actually pretty sparse. The zombies were not particularly interesting. The general experience felt very lackluster to me. And so I suppose that's probably one of the scariest things about games, is when you just aren't enjoying it, but you feel like you are compelled or even obligated to continue playing it. That was 7 Days to Die for me. And since we're talking about stuff Telltale had done, I suppose I should tell you about the Walking Dead series, which was actually Telltale's best series they did a really good job with. I think one of the scariest things, though, about the Walking Dead franchise is that some of the characters in the video game series are better fleshed out than some of the characters in the show. Also terrifying was about the story behind the scenes, which is how Telltale was basically making no money on pretty much every other game that they put out besides the Walking Dead series, and that they were actually hemorrhaging money, and that's the reason why they aren't around anymore. And a scary thing on top of the scary thing, though, is that I probably will never see my girl Clementine in any of the Walking Dead series, and I find that to be really sad. What a great character. What they're worried about is that she would steal the show. I know that much. What else do we have? Well, Dying Light, which I've already talked about, and it is a really great game, and you know, you like your parkour. Yeah, the nighttime sections are really good. I think the scariest thing, though, about Dying Light is that I may never actually get to play Dying Light 2 at this point. Who knows? I don't even know if it's ever coming out, and that they'll probably... Actually, the scariest part is that Techland will probably just continue to make more and more Dead Island games. Ugh. Sorry. That scared me just thinking about it. What else do we have? Dark Souls. That's kind of considered more of like a horror game. The real horror comes from, you know, working your way through levels after levels after levels, and then just getting, you know, one-shotted from behind out of nowhere, and having all of your souls just drop on the ground, and then you get regenerated off on the side, and all of the enemies are back. That's scary, because progress loss is terrifying if you are a gamer. And Dark Souls probably does that better than anyone. Another one that I actually played pretty recently was Alan Wake. I had not played it originally, but I thought to myself, sure, why not? Let's give it a go. And I can tell you that I regret it horribly. it makes no sense whatsoever. I played for a few levels because I wanted to see what it could do. The general idea behind Alan Wake is that you are a writer named Alan Wake, go figure, and you get to this small town, and some weird things happen, and then these monsters come out, and they're kind of like shadowy monsters, and the only way you can actually kill them is to shine a flashlight on them first, and then shoot them, and if that seems overly encumbering, you are correct. So the scariest thing about Alan Wake is that I have to worry about my flashlight and gun maintenance at the same time. Because, oh yeah, by the way, your flashlight has a battery life, So you have to continually manage, like, if your battery is regenerating or if you have to replace it in the middle of combat. Yeah, that's inventory management, and regenerating batteries is terrifying. And I suppose the other horror game that I wanted to mention right here was Doki Doki Literature Club, because Alex would probably shoot me if I didn't mention it. Doki Doki Literature Club was not particularly terrifying for me. I know it's considered a psychological horror, and that's how it was always billed, but it wasn't particularly scary for me for those reasons. The thing that was scary for me was that it became such a phenomenon when it's really just a twist on your regular dating sim. I found it kind of terrifying because I realized, since I was going to stream it and it was going to be like a thing that I did, that I was now on the hook to play this damn thing from front to back. And I can't tell you how much I did not enjoy that experience. But man, being on the hook to stream games that are in the popular zeitgeist really is one of the most terrifying things you could do. Okay, so that's kind of a rundown of games I can remember that are considered essentially scary games that I have indeed played. They're probably scary to me for reasons that are not the reasons they're usually considered scary games. However, I do have some notable recommendations that I would like to put out there. And I find these two examples interesting because they are essentially expansions to existing games. The first one I want to talk to you about is Dead Money, which was the first DLC pack for Fallout New Vegas. Now, I wouldn't even say Dead Money is the best of the four DLCs that they had for New Vegas. That would obviously be Old World Blues, we all know that. But Dead Money did have a personality all of its own, and the thing that really sets it apart from other DLCs of its type, one, is that it is completely self-contained. From the moment you start to the moment you end, you are all in Dead Money. You cannot leave. You have to finish what is there. And when you finally leave the Sierra Madre and go back to the Wasteland, you can never return again, just like Toyland. They do a lot of interesting things in Dead Money, though. They start you off with nothing. It's that part in the games where they just take everything away from you, and now you have to figure out what to do. You start off with basically nothing except this new gun they give you, which is called the Hollow Rifle, and that can get upgraded and everything, and it uses energy cells, which of course you don't have any at the front. So you are also scrounging for ammo this entire time. There are also these, like, shadow people who are in, you know, the fog that's out there, and they have the gas masks on, and they have bear traps on their fists, and they're kind of disturbing. You can hear this, like, sound every time they're approaching, because you can hear through the gas masks. There are these clouds of this mist that damage you when you wander into them. There are traps set up all over the place, makeshift traps that you have to watch out for. There is also this whole thing where you have a bomb collar on, and there is radio interference that can affect the bomb collar, and so you hear this beeping going off and realize that the interference is getting stronger and stronger, and you only have a certain amount of time to get from point A to point B before your bomb collar goes off and you instantly die. These are all things that are happening at the same time, and it does add to a ton of tension that really makes you start to think very critically about what you're doing and where you're going all the time. Then the storyline is actually also really good, where Father Elijah, who you kind of hear about in the main game, is explaining to you and also these three other people that have gotten, you know, caught up in this whole thing, that you are all going to help him break into the Sierra Madre Casino, which has been long abandoned and closed off, and there's apparently a treasure trove of riches somewhere deep down in its bowels, and he wants to get to it. So there's a lot of interesting things that are going on there, but just the fact that there's just so many things to think about all the time as you're going through that, and the seemingly hopeless environment that they put you into, is a really good example of how to create that kind of horror atmosphere in a game. The rest of the game doesn't necessarily do that, but that one particular section definitely does, the Dead Money expansion. Other example, and this is on a very different note, is Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare, which is a terrific standalone expansion that they did to a terrific game. But the whole idea of reframing the game entirely as basically a zombie adventure and reframing all of the characters inside of it as zombies, and John Marston going around trying to, you know, cure this undead disease that's out there, is a wonderful throwback to sort of old school, like, Romero kind of zombie films. But it's not really, it's actually very fun. There's a lot of neat things that you can get. You can get, like, the four horses of the apocalypse. You could ride them around. You hunt mythical creatures like the chupacabra. Eventually, if you're really good and you can, like, do all of these extra missions, you can get yourself a unicorn that you can ride. There's a launcher for dynamite sticks that you could get. There's just so much cool stuff that you can do in that game. And it's not necessarily scary, but they kind of turn the whole idea of a zombie game on its head by making it very fun. Now, what I will say is that the most legitimately scary moment that I have experienced in a game came from Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. Now, if you've never played that game, obviously it's about vampires and monsters and, you know, the gothic creatures of the night. There is a lot of scary themes in the game, a lot of scary thematic elements. But the scariest part by far, is where you go to the Ocean House Hotel. Now, this part in particular, oh boy, that is a piece de resistance of scary gaming. You go to this house, you have heard that it is haunted. No one really knows much about it. You get to this place, you are all alone in this hotel. And that should be fine. I'm all alone in this hotel. Until stuff starts happening. Lights start flickering. You start to see like a little toy train just kind of like going through a doorway by itself. Doors like slam shut on you all of a sudden. You know, lights pop off right in front of you. And you realize, oh, maybe this place is haunted because this is like a gothic horror kind of setting. And things just keep happening around you. But they never actually specify what is happening or what is doing it. What you have to do is just find like this pendant so that you can return it to complete a quest and continue the game. You have no idea how fast I tried to get done with that section. I wanted out of that place as fast as I possibly could. It's that kind of gaming that I know people want to play horror games for, and it's the reason why I don't necessarily like to, but I will accept moments of great horror in otherwise not horror-based games. That's probably the best example of horror used in a video game that I have ever experienced. Although, note that this is early October, and I might end up playing some more this month specifically, because, well, remember, Halloween is coming up. And so, if I do, I might actually tell you about that before the end of the month. Although, I will give you a special recommendation, one that is about not really horror gaming, but about Halloween, because it is literally a game about Halloween. Actually, two. Costume Quest 1 and 2. These were games that were made by Double Fine, and the whole idea was that you are playing kids that are out trick-or-treating on Halloween. And it is very cute, and it is very fun, and it kind of feeds into the idea of children's imaginations being the main mechanics of the game. You can have the kids dress up in different kinds of costumes, and then when they get into the turn-based battle system, their costumes manifest themselves into, like, the real versions of those things that they are dressed up as. And that gives them special abilities and powers and everything like that. They're actually very enjoyable, very cute, like, easy-to-understand RPGs where your currency is, like, candy. And, you know, your upgrades are based around the different powers that each costume would entail. And if you're looking for just a fun game that you might want to play in honor of Halloween, you could do much worse than Costume Quest. All right, well, I am totally creeped out at this point, and so I am going to end this episode. Thank you for joining me down on the spookiest cave. Did that scare you? No? That doesn't surprise me. Okay, fine. Fine. No, go up to the surface world with the surface dwellers. I'm sure it's far less scary up there. Actually, it probably is. Can you take me with you? No? Okay. Well, then I'll just stay here then with my thoughts. Are those eyes? I think something over there just blinked. Are you sure I can't come with you?